talking about Purim. So it's made a cheshbon that it's already after Purim Katan, so I can start talking about Purim. But just in regards to times, so we have four more shmuzim, four more Sunday nights before Purim. So one Rabbi Kreisel will say, and one is an offshop, so at least maybe two shmuzim for Purim. So two shmuzim for Purim is already, I have an excuse to start talking about Purim already. Only got two shmuzim for Purim. So I'll say that Purim is not bought to Lossid Lobby. Purim is out of all of the Yom Tovim. Purim is not bought to Lossid Lobby. There's something in the element of eternity of which Purim has, which you have to explain, and what is that? So that obviously means that the point which we're touching into is that Purim allows us to touch into the world of Nitzchias, the world of eternity. And what is that? The Rizal says that we know that there's different spheres, and different Yom Tovim correspond to the different spheres, and the Rizal says that Chanukah corresponds to Hoyd, and Purim corresponds to Netzach. So again, we have the Purim corresponds to the concept of the element of Netzach, of Netzach. Now, the Netzach over there, Pashut Taich of Netzach over there is referring to the idea of overpowering, winning, not of eternity, but we'll talk about that. Maybe we can correspond those two elements as well. Shlomo Melech is asked to go out and destroy Amalek, and he comes back. He doesn't. It does not destroy Amalek properly. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Shmuel HaNavi, and he says that I have charata that I was Mamlech Shalos the Melech. And he's going to lose the malucha. So Shmuel tells Shaul that this is what's going to happen. He says, no, I'll do tshuva, etc. He says, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Netzach Yisrael is not going to be mishaker. We're dealing with the issue of Netzach over here. And he uses specifically the term that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Netzach Yisrael. He's the source of eternity for Klal Yisrael. In conjunction with the destruction of Amalek. In conjunction with the destruction of Amalek, Shmuel Navi chooses the word, the phrase Netzach Yisrael. We find the Pesukim when they talk about the Mochama of Amalek, that Yeshua goes out at the end of Parshas Shalach to fight Amalek, and the Parshan promises Mochama Hashem Amalek Midor Dor, that the Mochama Kadosh Baruch will have with Amalek will continue from generation to generation. It has its element of Nitzchias in it. This destruction of Amalek, the Mochama with Amalek, is something which will continue for all the generations to come. Okay, so we seem to see that there's an intrinsic element of Netzach in the Yom Tov of Purim. Esther comes in the story. In the Megillah, okay, and she's going to make her bakasha to save Klal Yisrael. So she invites them in Kapitel Hay, in Perek Hay, she invites them to a mishta. So they bring him to the Mishnah, and the Melech again. She comes into the Melech. He says, "What can I do for you?" Up to Chatzim Alchus, you know, Saint Loch. He says, "Please come to my party." So they come to the party again. Mashal Sechem, you know, Saint Loch. And she says, "Shelosi Bakashasi. If you want to do what I ask, is come again to a party tomorrow. Umochar Esekid Bar Melech." So she pushes off her bakasha to tomorrow. She seeks out mochor, tomorrow. Now, what happens in the interim between today and tomorrow, between that tomorrow tremendous amount of things happen in that point in time. So Haman has his whole plan, and he makes him eights. Everything is going wonderful, etc. And then, and tomorrow, everything changes. So that means that right now, at this point, at this moment, Haman's on the top of the world. Klal Yisrael is on the bottom. And she says, I'm not going to beat him today. But mochar, tomorrow, is a different ballgame. It's hard not to hear the echo of that phrase at the end of Parshas Bashalach, Vayavah Molech, Vayulachim Miso Berfidim. So they come and they fight. So they came and they attacked. So what does Moshe tell Yeshua? Why Machor? They already attacked. Amalek attacked. So why Machor? But Moshe says, Machor, I'm going to stand on out there and I'm going to daven. And, right? He went up to fight, and Moshe went up to the Gibeah. It doesn't say that he waited until tomorrow, but this is that, we assume that's what it's referring to. Right? So it's hard not to hear the echo of the mocher of Esther Amalka in the mocher of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because I'll say that there's a concept of also these scars, Rishayim Baalam Hazeh. You can't set up with Rishayim in this world. In this world, you can't set up with a Rishoyim. The word says, what's it referring to? It's referring to a Rasha Shasom Mesechekesloi. So Matis Yom, when he has a shmuz, he quotes that the reporter said, "Ein l'chosho Mesechekesloi, Rasha, which the Shah is Mesechekesloi, that he seems to be being favored, there's nobody greater than Haman." So you can't be Mesgar, but Rishoyim, by the Mazeb. So how did the Mordechai start up with Haman? I mean, how do you understand that? I mean, Chazal said, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to chapter with them. So, the answer is, Ba'alam Hazeh, you can't chapter with them. If you're a person who's an Ba'alam Hazeh, take a yid, you live in a person, you live in this world, you live in the here and now, so you can't set up with the Rishoyim, the Shama Sechekos Loi. But a person who lives in from the vantage point of Olam Haba, of the then and the there, not the here and the now, you could be miskar by Olam Rishoyim, because you know that it will not last. The vantage points of Netzach allows us to see things from a totally different perspective. Shiva Reb Chaim used to say over that. There's a challenging medrash that the medrash says that the Umus Olam come and they attack Klal Yisrael. The medrash says it's a mashal to a bird which made its nest by the seashore, and the water came and wiped away the nest, and the bird was very upset, and the bird says, "Okay, it's going to take revenge on the yam." So it's going to empty out the yam. So it goes to the yam, picks up water in its beak, and pours it out into the yabosha. It does it again, and does it again. So the medrash says, whatever it does, it doesn't make a dent into the yam. So the Umos Arlam, whatever they do to Klai, so it doesn't make a dent into Klai. So that's the medrash. So again, without getting involved in the protim, the bird, and the range, etc., but says the point of the matter is it doesn't make a dent in Klal Yisrael. It says 6 million Jews, isn't a dent? What does that mean? What's the matter saying? You know, the Chazal, if you look at the Chazals where they describe Korban Habayis, you're talking about millions of people were killed. So whether you take the Chazal Kipshut or not Kipshut, whatever it means, it was a tremendous destruction in Klal Yisrael. So what did that mean? That doesn't make a dent. And he answered, from the perspective of Netzach, it doesn't make a dent. That perspective of the here and the now, there's a tremendous shlita, there's a tremendous power. the godless of Klal Yisrael is that there's not, that we don't live in the here and the now. We live with an understanding that there's a then and there's a there. There's another layer. There's another part to the story, which we know is coming. And from that vantage point, Klal Yisrael at the end is going to exist, and they cannot damage Klal Yisrael in any way, shape, or form. Whatever they've done now at this moment seems to be weakening Klal Yisrael. It's not a reality. Because when you measure it from the vantage point of infinity, it's nothing. That's what Netzach is. The Midah of Netzach, which means to be Menatzeach, to win, we normally understand, how do you win? By overpowering. That's incorrect. What we're understanding right now, the reason why we use the word Netzach to mean overpowering, and Netzach to mean eternity, because the way you win is by staying power. You don't have to overpower. You just have to stay in the game until the other person is worn out. The Klal Yisrael's godliness is they stay in the game until the other person is worn out. Not because we overpower the other nations. Klal Yisrael rarely has accomplished by overpowering, at least in the last 2,000 years for sure, we have not won by overpowering the other nations. But we have won by the fact that we have staying power. Right? The famous quote from Mark Twain, he says he doesn't understand. The only nation which is eternal is the Jewish people. All of the nations come and make this big, rash gadol, the Romans, anybody had more power than the Romans? Where are the Romans nowadays exactly? Some columns, go and see some, look at some ruins, in Italy, The Greeks, the Romans, Persians, they're trying to revive it. It's the same Persians even. Egypt, Egypt, mighty empire, A lot of big pyramids, The Jews walking around still. Mordecai says, you can't be misguided with the Rosh Hashanah Mazeh. Haman, there's nobody greater than Haman. And Mordecai says, yeah, but tomorrow, we'll see what's going to happen by tomorrow. Haman's on the top of the world. And the only kiddush to me by Haman is, he had a havamina of these, most people have just committed suicide. Right? There's stories. The person on the top of the world, people have these tremendous losses in the stock market. They just committed suicide. Right? The guy went from the pinnacle of power. He's talking about there's only one empire at that point in time, and it controls all of the known world. And he's the second to command to the king, which basically, and he seems to be controlling the king very well. He basically is the person that has all of the power in the world. There's nobody higher than him. And he's schlepping Mordecai around on a horse. Are you out of your mind? Right? He's having chamber pots being emptied on his head. Right? It's like wow. It's a pellet to me that he didn't, I'm done. He would have said it was just the Shulchan Melech Higiyu and schlepped him to the party. Right? He's Amon Levakesh Al Nafshoy. Just give up already, Chazal, the Rizal says that the Moshe is corresponds to the meat of Netzach. Aaron corresponds to the meat of Hoyd. Hoyd is the beauty of Kahuna, etc., etc. But it's like Hanukkah's connected that. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah's godless, what Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Klal Yisrael was a keli which allows us to view the world from a different vantage point. I don't define success by where I am at this moment. I define success by where I'm going. There's a beautiful word, there's a beautiful machshava from Rabbi Rucham, think about it for a moment. He says he asked us to correspond to take two groups and compare them and decide which one is greater. We have the story of the Meraglim in Parsha Shlach, and we have the story of Rachav Azayna in the Haftarah of Parsha Shlach. Okay, who were the Meraglim? The Meraglim, Chazal say, were the greatest people of Klal Yisrael. There was nobody greater than the Meraglim. Kolev, Yeshua were in the Meraglim, and they're listed number five. They're listed before. Yaakov suggests in one place, he says that maybe the reason listed from, because Kolev was number five in the list. That there was four people who were greater than Kolev in this group. They were towering cedars, right? The California, they're these gigantic people, godless mamish. Rachav, she's from the Zayin Umas. She's a Zayna. Karnomshat means a Zayna mamish. Romshat means she's a woman who has a store which gives people Zaynas, whatever. Right. She's not Jewish. What's the end of the story? The Meraglim are destroyed. They're killed. Their Zecher is obliterated. And Rachav becomes a Giyaris. Because I'll say she married Yehoshua. She married the Gadol HaDor. And Zecher had three daughters from Yeshua. So how are we supposed to look at that? He says, so that he has a shmuz in the Daschach Hamos and Chelik Aleph called Hanoivel Vahatzemeach. The definition of godless and Klal Yisrael is not by where you are now, but whether you're growing or whether you're withering. The highest cedar, but if it's dying, it's dead wood. It's going to come down. It's going to collapse. It's going to fall. To be destroyed. And a sapling, which is growing, is growing. It's small, but it's growing. The definition is not where you are, it's where you're going. That's the lesson. That's the Yisrael the Torah defines by us. It's not who you are. It's not where you are. It's what you're aspiring to be and what you're doing to get there. We are trained and raised in the concept of Netzach, of looking towards tomorrow. I had an experience of that today. Somebody asked me this morning, so when's the next Yom Yom? I said, excuse me, let me finish this one. He says, oh, we have to think about the next one already. I said, tomorrow, I said. Right. You know, let me at least catch my breath. Right. We're always moving forward. Right? He's right. You know, just I wasn't in the mood of dealing with it, but he's right. The mice, right? I once there was a person, Choshev Talmud Chacham who put out a lot of swarm, etc. And I was this small when he put out a sefer. Now you have the picture, but they're putting out a sefer. Choshev swarm, like it's a tremendous amount of work. And you know, the person talk about the shaila about making a bracha. When you get the first copy of the sefer, you get the first bound copy. There's a gemal de gesimcha. You make a bracha on it. It's mitzvah of the hadas. Do you make a bracha? Not make a bracha. That's the shaila and poskim. Right. So one time I had a conversation with him about what's the right emotion? How do you deal with this, etc. Not that I ever got to that position yet, but you know, like what's the right emotion? So he says to me, he feels very happy. His immediate thought process is, and what's next? Instead of the defining myself by what I've accomplished, and look how great I am, look what I've accomplished, he says, okay, that allows me to understand that I can go weiter. I can do more. Not to denigrate what I've accomplished, to look at it as worthless, but from that vantage point, understand that let's go weiter, let's do some more. So that can be a very empowering moment. Or it can be a limiting moment. Look, I can focus on what I've done. As soon as I focus on what I've done, I end. It's not Netzach anymore. The goddesses, we have a tomorrow. That also means that if today was no good, tomorrow can be better. If you look at the parsha of the Kisisa, in many ways, I think Kisisa is a fascinating parsha to me. I can't say this because Chazal say you can't say one parsha is more important than the other, one puzzle is more important than the other. But Kisisa is probably the most important. That being said, it's the most important parsha in the whole Torah. Because Kisisa is the parsha which talks about you get a second chance. Now, let's go back to our emotions. Klal Yisrael is by Har Sinai. And Klal Yisrael has reached the Madrega of what a Rishon Kodesh Machet. They've been misakin the pagam in the world. They removed Misa. There's no Misa. Chazal say that had they not done the Chetah Egel, no nation would have power over them. The Musalim would have no power over them. The Malchamos would have no power over them. Right? They're standing at the moment of tremendous spiritual success, and they know it. And you imagine the emotion, the feeling that they've accomplished. They went from being the lowly slaves of Mitzrayim to becoming the most important people in the whole world. In a spiritual sense, and they understand it. They understand from that vantage point the whole purpose of the whole Bria, the Russian created the Bria, they're being massacred. All they gotta do is get there to Israel, and Mashiach comes, and it's all done. History is completed. Now, the Rechaim Shlomitz has a shmooze where he talks about Shalom Melech. Blew it. By a Moloch, he blew it. See, he makes interesting bakasha. See, he asks Shmuel, V'ato ason rochatasi v'shuvi mi v'shtacha b'el Hashem. B'mocho my chetz, hold up, be noisy it, and come with me and bow to Hashem. I'm not going to go with you. And then he gives the book, and then he says, come with me to bow. Now, Chazal say that Shaul was a person who was a tremendous honor. He says, "No, give me a bishikol kovid. Come to me. Let's go bow together. Give me kovid." What's he asking for? What's bothering him? So the Chaim Shlomitz says the following ha'ora. Story of Rus and Orpah leaving with Naomi. Now, Geir, I don't know how common they were. They weren't. But these, because I'll say these were the children of the Melech. These were the children of Eglon Melech Moav. And they chose to marry Jewish men. And they chose to leave with their mother-in-law after the husband had died. To go back to be impoverished people who are going to pick grains amongst the harvesters in Eretz Yisrael. Rus and Orpah. And they go, and they once, and Naomi says, "Go back. I have nothing to give you." And they say, "No, we will stick. We will both stay with you." And she says a second time, and after the second time, Orpah leaves. And she says to Ruth, "You see that Orpah left?" She says, "No." And she says a third time to her, "Go back." She says, "No," and she goes with her. What happened to Orpah? Look at the godliness of this woman. She said no at the end, but look at that. She was willing to go. She even was challenged by her mother-in-law one time, and she said, "No, I'm going to go with you." After the second time, she says, "You know, you got a good point." She goes back home. So Chazal says she went back home, and that night she was mezana with five men. Like, what happened? She says, a person is holding on the cusp of godless and ruchnius, and they feel that they fell. The emotional pain is so overwhelming. The depression which comes with it is that they are vulnerable to doing the most terrible of errors at that moment. Because the feeling of emptiness which comes with, "I've lost all my Kedusha." Orpah's walking home and she says, "You know what? I understand her argument, but look what I lost. I lost being part of Klal Yisrael." And that emotion left her so empty and so void that she could do anything. Shaul is the Melech Yisrael. Melech Yisrael means he's the Lev Ha'am. He has the Kedusha of all of Klal Yisrael on his shoulders. And he was just told, "V'yamoscha Hashem mi'melech, Hashem has found you mi'is." And Shaul says, "Gevald Nevel, I'm going to walk home. I'm going to walk out this door. And I'm going to fall apart. Who knows what I could do? I need you to give me back that recognition that I'm somebody of value. I need the covenant." They said, "No, you still have something of value. You're not worthless. Don't blow it." Klal Yisrael does the Chet HaEgel. Now, we could do a psychological study of Klal Yisrael. I don't know what they were like. But you can just imagine. Just imagine the emotion of pain, of depression, of frustration, of loss. What it means to do Chet HaEgel. They realize Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he breaks the luchos in front of their face. He takes the egel and he grinds it up into pieces. And he puts it into, he gives it everybody to drink. What emotion, what disappointment, what frustration they have at that moment. And the Rishon says, you know what? You can do tshuva and you can correct it. There's a tomorrow. Today you blew it. There's a tomorrow. Tomorrow might be a very long time. It'll be unpacked in Bekadati. It's going to take a long time to get to that tomorrow. But there's a tomorrow. It doesn't end now. Amalek represents all of the feeling of loss and destruction and everything which is inside of ourselves. Rafi Yodei Minotera, they've lost, they're cold. It's a kaltkeit, which we feel towards something. And it usually comes after we've done something wrong. We just feel so emptied. And there's a concept called mochar. There's a tomorrow. It doesn't end now. You'll be tomorrow, there's a second chance. For our generation, for sure, because I'll say that the only reason Klal Yisrael did the Chet HaEgel to show all of the nation, the generations to come, that it's that shy to do tshuva. Purim is the power of Klal Yisrael has done something wrong, and the Bereshit says, you know what? Look what you did. Haman is the embodiment of the problem. He's not the problem. The problem is you, Klal Yisrael. You did something wrong to the point that you deserve to be destroyed. There can't be anything more depressing than that. And it comes to Mordechai and says, you know what? There's a tomorrow. I'm not looking at the Hatzlach of the Rosh HaBarlam Hazeh, which represents that Klal Yisrael has fallen and there's a decree against Klal Yisrael and Shemayim. It's not Bedam, which means it's not the life it's not the life definition of what we are. It's Betit. It's dirt. It's a spot on my clothing. It's a big spot. It's a horrible spot. It's destruction that can be overcome. That's the power of Mocher. We overcome a Molech by understanding that there is a tomorrow. There's a tomorrow we seem to be low. We will eventually be successful. But even more so, inside of ourselves, we lost it. We've blown it. We feel horrible about ourselves. We're frustrated. We're disappointed. Okay. There's a tomorrow. Shmuel accepts Shaul's Bakasha, Kadenino. Later on, when Shaul finally doesn't know what to do, right? He doesn't know what to do. He finally, he's being pressured with the whole situation with the Muhammad. And he, Shloi Kedin, he calls up Shmuel through the Balasoiv. And what does Shmuel say to him? Machar, tomorrow you'll be with me. Tomorrow you'll be with me. Your tshuva will be in this Kabul. Tomorrow you'll be with me. Whatever you've done wrong, tomorrow you're going to be with Shmuel Navi in Shemayim, Mimi Chitzasi. There's a Machar. That's his final tikkun, that Shaul is able to find the moment of Machar. He's going to be destroyed in this world. It's going to end in this world. But there's a Machar, Mimi Chitzasi in Shemayim, he'll be with Shmuel Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was the meat of Netzach. The Torah is the meat of Netzach because Torah gives us the ability to deal with the disappointments and the frustrations. Torah gives us the kalim. Torah gives us the lessons to understand that we're not perfect. We made mistakes, but that's not the defining element. And we can pick ourselves up and do it again and again and again and again. Because there's always a mochor. There's always a future. There's always an opportunity, a possibility. We are eternal. Our neshama is eternal. it's not a final destruction. It can be corrected. It can be rectified. It can be dealt with. She was like, to understand the godless of Purim is that Klai is eternal, not just in a physical sense, but much more importantly, in a spiritual sense, in an emotional sense. We have the power to look towards the future, build ourselves, never to stop, and always to grow.